Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. In yesterday's program, we talked about Paul being an apostle, a sent one, chosen by Christ himself. He had equal authority to the other apostles, which Jesus, while he was on earth, selected. And we talked about the authority that Paul had, and we pointed out in his second letter to the Corinthians, he said twice that he had authority to build up, but not to tear down. He had the authority to lay the foundation of the church by his teachings. And he had the right to speak for God. He told that to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, 37 and 38, where he said what he had written was the commandment of the Lord. Well, there's one other bit of authority that I want to express. Paul claimed that to him the revelation was made known of a mystery, something that had been hidden in ages past and not revealed to anyone else, was revealed to Paul. Therefore, he spoke with authority about this revelation. And that comes in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen to it. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me according to the working of his power. Now Paul was overwhelmed by this. God had selected him to announce to the whole world most of what we know about the church. He announced that Christ was the head of the church, and that those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, whether slave or free man, were all baptized into one body with Christ as the head of the body. And all those who were baptized into the body by the Spirit are equal members of the body. There is none who is more important than another. But the big thing was that Jew and Gentile would be equal, and that was something the early Jews could not understand and opposed for a time, because they wanted the Gentiles to become Jews in order to become Christians, to absorb the Jewish ways and traditions, including circumcision and the law of Moses. Now we move on. While Paul was the author of this epistle to the Colossians, he writes in conjunction with Timothy, his helper and his brother. Notice verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. Now, Timothy was not a co-author. This is a courtesy extended to someone who worked closely with Paul. We know that Timothy was not a co-author because of the personal pronoun used throughout this epistle. For example, at the end of this first chapter, verses 24 and 25, listen to the personal pronoun which indicates who the author is. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister. And then on in chapter 2, verse 1, for I want you to know how greatly I strive for you and for those at Laodicea. And in verse 4, we have again that personal pronoun. I say this in order that no one may delude you with beguiling speech. And so it goes. And in the chapter 4, the last chapter of this epistle, in verse 18, Paul writes, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember, my fetters, grace be with you. Timothy is not mentioned, then, as a writer, so it indeed is a courtesy that he extended to Timothy as his companion and fellow worker when he addressed the saints and gave his name and Timothy's name at the beginning of this letter. Why does he mention Timothy, the brother? Why a brother? Because all who believe are born from above and have the same parent, our God and Heavenly Father. We are children of God when we believe in Jesus Christ, the one God sent. Then we are spiritual brothers, and believe it or not, in God's sight, those who believe are your brothers and sisters, and they are far more important than your physical brothers and sisters. Now that's hard for us to accept, because we are so much of this world, and family life is so important to so many of us. But when God looks at us who believe, He looks at us with eternal eyes. He sees those who are going to live forever with His Son in eternity and glory. And then He sees others who likewise are going to live there forever, and they are one family. They are the children of God, and they are the ones who believe, not the ones who have the same physical parents. If you have wondered why people in some churches refer to one another as brother, perhaps this explanation will be of help. The word brother or brethren is the most common identification of a believer in the New Testament. It's found 180 times, and it implies equality in Christ. Now, no matter how famous a man might be, he's no more than a brother as far as the family of God is concerned. But that doesn't mean we should refer to one another as brother. Don't feel like you are not being faithful to the Word of God if you call another Christian by his proper name rather than brother. A man ought to know that you accept him as a brother in Christ by the love you show toward him, not by the title that you might express in addressing him. Now please notice in verse 1, Paul did not say, and Timothy, my brother. He of course was his brother, but he is saying, our brother. In other words, you people living over there in Colossae have this man Timothy as your brother, as well as having me as your brother. Now, I want to point out something, and you may not like it, but there are some people who are so denominationally oriented that they will not refer to someone as a brother who is not of that particular denomination. I have experienced it. But my attitude is, if they are believers in Christ, I'm going to treat them as brothers, even though they don't treat me as a brother. Now, that's their problem, not mine. But I'm not going to be dividing the body of Christ over denominational issues. The Bible teaches me that a believer is a brother or a sister in Christ, and I dare not treat a believer any less than that. Now this letter is addressed to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. That may give you a problem if you're not familiar with biblical language. What does saints mean? Well, that's another very common designation for a Christian in the New Testament. It's found 62 times. First and foremost, the word saint means separated. And by that the Bible means separated by God from the rest of the world. God looks down from heaven at the person who believes, and immediately He separates him from all the other people in the world. He sets them apart as His own. He puts His seal upon them. These are His people. So from God's point of view, there are only two kinds of people in the world, the saints and those who are not saints. God knows who they are. Now we do a disservice to the Word of God if we insist that the word saint means something in regard to moral qualities. Let me explain. The priests and women who served in the temple of the Greek god were called saints. That's the word hagios. They were separated to that service. And the service of the women was prostitution. Now, there's certainly nothing holy or moral about that activity. We often use the word saint unlike the Bible uses it. When we find a person who is unusually good or consecrated to doing something for other people, we say that person is a saint. Well, that's the modern use of the word. But now there's another proof of what I am saying, and that's in John chapter 17, verse 17. It's the prayer of Jesus when he said, "Sanctify them in the truth." And he's talking about the apostles. He's praying to the Father to set them apart in the truth. "Thy word is truth." And then he adds, "As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." Now, the word saint comes from the same root as the word sanctify. The word saint in Greek is hagios. The word sanctify is hagios mos. And they both mean to be separated or set apart. The fact that it does not mean set apart in regard to moral qualities is brought out in verse 19, where Jesus said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself." Was Jesus immoral and was going to then, by this declaration, set himself apart so that he would be moral? No, not at all. You see, by introducing a moral quality to the word, we confuse the word as the Bible uses it. Now, as used here in Colossians, it's a reference to God's people. A saint is not a condition which they attained. No personal integrity, sacrifice, or devotion earns one the right to be a saint. For example, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, who were anything but saints as far as we are concerned because of their immorality, their fighting, their division, and their disregard for the unity of the body of Christ, Paul writes to them, and he addresses his letter to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Wow, Paul believed that they were separated by God, but they did not have the moral qualities which he wanted them to have. A saint is a person separated by God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is more to be said about this word saint, and we'll do that tomorrow. If you are enjoying this program, why not invite a friend to tune in also? For those of you who are new listeners, let me say that the Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry supported by friends and listeners. We thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.